And divine help and your attention, draw that attention to the chapter we read, the fourth chapter, Paul's epistle to the Philippians, and verses 6 and 7. Chapter 4 of the epistle of Paul to the Philippians, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This epistle is a very affectionate letter. The dear apostle, as you will know from the Acts of the Apostles, were drawn to Philippi, persuaded by a vision that he saw in the night that it was the will and purposes of God and it was for their salvation. And this whole letter written to them, to the church there, has much comfort, much encouragement and much teaching. I thought of those words where the dear apostle said that being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He was instrumental, and only as an instrument, in the preaching of the gospel, the forming of a church, and the words that he preached, the Lord blessed to the good of such souls. But you will see immediately in those words that he gave all the praise, all the glory unto his God, that he which hath begun, not him, not Paul, not the preacher, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Well, there's many such encouragements or instructions, and we have a word in season here. Surely there's never been and never will be times when a word of sacred instruction and teaching such as this will be surely suitable to you. The Lord make it to be so this day. Be careful for nothing. Strange expression, you will say. What does it mean? Well, in a one way we could put it like this. Be not overburdened with everything. Be careful for nothing. Oh, my friends, how we do get taken away with and burdened with unnecessary things, and sometimes we are overburdened with things that really do matter as well. You can be overburdened, my friends, and if you're under a sore temptation or under the tempter's power, he'll load those things with weight upon your spirit, and you'll find you carry care all the day and all the night also. But it's not a word to be careless. It's not a word sent of God through his blessed apostle and by the Spirit written in the word of truth that we should be indifferent to care, but rather what to do with that care. My friends, you can't carry all your cares on your own if you're a child of grace. What is the purpose of those words that we quoted? Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. The purpose is, my friends, that you and I who carry burdens and cares are afflicted in mind and body because of the untrodden steps of the way and the distress that it brings and the darkness, the doubts and fears, the unbelief that seems to come against all these cares. My friends, there's a remedy here for it. the Lord enable you to, by his grace and by his mercy, lay them before him. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now that's divine instruction, my friends, and it's suitable words. The Lord only knows who it shall be suitable for. But I tell you, my friends, there's a word here in season to all the needy and the poor of the people of God. Be careful for nothing. And oh, how it is so. How we tend to lay before the Lord what we can't manage when we can't manage. But up till then, until that time, my friends, we go around groaning and sorrowing, weighed down by this and that, the heart and the sin and the sorrows, the darkness, the pathway, whatever it is, my friends, it's written in these words. But in everything, your walk and pathway here, your burdens and your cares, the steps that are not yet trodden, the exercises of your soul which the Lord has put in you, which declares what his will and purposes are. Oh, all these things, my friends, we by nature look at his way or the way appointed to us and we shrink from it. But that's not the way to walk, my friends. That's not the way to walk. Believers, the Lord, if you and I are believers, the Lord grants you and I the grace that is needed to cast that burden on him. Because there's so many impossibilities, it's beyond us. Let be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. How sweet, my friends, are the words, therefore, to the needy and the poor. And in ready this morning, and burdened with this day's services and 101 other things which lie in the pathway, I was brought to this place. It dropped in so sweetly and it broke my heart. And it's a hymn that was made sweet to me, I suppose, 30 odd years ago. What was it? Leave God to order all thy ways. And the last lines of those hymn, of that verse of that hymn is this: who trusts in God's unchanging grace builds on a rock that naught can move. Be careful for nothing. My friends, may you heed it, may I heed it this day. It brings peace, it brings comfort, it brings joy. Cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, my friends, as every word and every promise in the word of God is contained in these things. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. You'll not alter your paths, my friends, and your prayers and supplications won't either, perhaps. But if there is that, indeed, there must be this laying of the thing, the matter, the burden, the care before the Lord will uphold you with his grace in that pathway, though he may not change the path for a moment. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The second part of the text, verse 7, my friends, is the blessing that the people of God shall enjoy and does enjoy by that adhering to and following in the way of this gracious advice. But first things first, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything. Oh, we tend to carry the burdens, the matters that we can't manage, the trials and the troubles to the Lord, you say. But it says everything, everything. Tomorrow's burdens, tomorrow's cares, which you would be rid of today, I'm sure, in the house of God. Let but in everything by prayer and supplication. There's a blessed spirit's divine work here, you know. Prayer and supplication can't come out of the heart of a natural man and not be received into heaven, by the way. It cannot. Oh, fleshly prayers won't go to heaven, you know. It won't pass the ceiling. But spirit taught prayers, prayer and supplication. What does it mean? Why doesn't it just say prayer? My friends, there's an exercise in prayer, and to my mind there's a very great exercise in supplication. Supplication is the earnestness of prayer. And you supplicate on what ground? But in everything by prayer and supplication, on what ground do you do so? Well, on that all-prevailing name of Jesus Christ. But there's something else that we must see here, surely. But in everything by prayer and supplication, well, it matters not how great it is. It matters not how small it is. Whether it's insignificant as far as your natural heart would view it, or whether the same natural heart will say, well, no, that's impossible even for God to do. In everything by prayer and supplication. My friends, you'll seek him for prayer and supplication. And you'll seek him for that spirit of divine teaching. And you'll lay before the Lord how he teaches you and by what means he does those things, those everythings. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Oh, the groans and sighs of your heart, you say, that's prayer and supplication. The upward glancing of an eye, as one of the poets says, that's prayer and supplication. The times without number, when you've had to say, Lord, help me, that's prayer and supplication. And the burdens of the sighs and cries of the groans of the people of God ascend through the merits of Christ and are found at the footstool of mercy, the throne of grace, but in everything. But I have to say this, it comes to my mind, and I hope it's not a word out of season, but my friends, I'm one of those who fear the future. Not the future of this dying world I'm not talking about, but your own future footsteps, the rest of your journey, what trials and troubles the Lord might indeed cause and permit you to walk into and walk through. But in everything, there is, my friends, much grace needed in this word, of course. But I've often felt there's such a lot of truth in these exercises of prayer and supplication when you lay these things before the Lord, when you can lay them there, when you can lay them at his footstool of mercy, when you can leave them there. And there are one or two times when a child of God has been able to unburden his precious soul and lay it at the footstool of mercy. Not to put your hand to it. I thought of those words coming up the A11 this morning. Be still and know that I am God. Dear friends, he doesn't need your help. He has all sufficient help. All sufficient. Now, my friends, when you lay it there, the Lord gives you grace to do so. But the Lord grants you grace and faith to leave it there. Not to try and alter, not to try and make it one whit better. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There is that connecting therefore those two words or three words, prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. What then shall a child of grace be thankful for as he prays? Well, surely the place that he prays to and the person who he prays through. Of some great mercy, my friends, if you could only understand it, that we have a throne of grace. We have a holy and a just God, an able God. We have a Saviour in Christ Jesus, a mediator of the new covenant who stands between in garments dyed in blood. What supplication should be made through his name with thanksgiving? Oh, have you ever been thankful for a place to take your prayers and your supplications, your troubles and your trials? Have you ever been thankful that you can take all who are near and dear to you and lay them at his dear feet? You know, in the days of his pilgrimage, Jesus Christ received sinners and ate with them. But oh, how many of his miracles did he did when they came and brought them to Christ? Not literally, but the burden of their sighs and groans, they made mention to Christ in their supplications, and he appeared and delivered. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And then I'll tell you something else. Oh, may the Lord grant us a thankful heart on this strength and for this purpose, that he receiveth sinners. My friends, there are abundant mercies in the covenant. Mercies beyond our understanding, mercies beyond our consideration because of the greatness of them. Mercies to unworthy, perishing sinners. Oh, the thankfulness that should be raised up in our heart, that burdened we may be, sinful we are, tried we are indeed to the hilt, dark in our pathways, but here there is the way of escape, and it's to wretched sinners like you and I. Oh, what thankfulness we should have in our hearts to a gracious God who has, through his only beloved Son, made a way that sinners may approach him. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thankful for the means that God has given in his Son. That's the way to God. That is through his name, through his merits. Thankful too, and may this remain with you as it, I hope it will with me too, my friends, the abundant truth that there's nothing that the Lord cannot do. With him there is no impossibilities. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. But also too, my friends, not only do we seek to honour the person of Christ in the pleading of his precious name, but also to honour God in this, that God is able to do far more than we could ask or think. I thought of those words as we read them, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, in everything by prayer. This cuts across, and may it indeed remove by its grace that dreadful sin of unbelief that we have, that troubles us, distresses us, causes many heartaches, many silent petitions unto the Lord that we might be blessed with living faith, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Oh, that we might pray believing. My friends, there's any amount of prayer that's prayed with no faith at all in it. We pray out of, what shall we say, upbringing. Sometimes we pray out of familiarity. Sometimes we pray out of duty. My friends, it's all sin in God's eyes. But may there be prayer with faith, and may the prayer be indicted prayer, and may we be enabled to heed this gracious instruction, but in everything. You will notice too that where this good man was, he was in Rome, and he was in prison. But his care for this church at Philippi exceeded all his privations and his troubles. How he bore before them those needful instructions and teaching, so that they shall prosper, that while he languished in prison, they should prosper spiritually. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Oh, thankful for a throne of grace then. Thankful for indicted prayer. Thankful that Indeed, though the matter is so great, there is a greater God in glory able to deal with it. Thankful that sin doesn't bar you from prayer and supplication. I believe this truly, my friend. The word of God will support us in that, you know, your own perishing, sinful state, dark as it is and often distressing, is not a bar to a coming sinner at the throne of unchanging grace. Come as you are indeed, but my friends, it may be a hindrance, but it's not a prevention. Let your requests be made known unto God in all its volume, in all its concerns, in all its burdens. Let your requests be made known unto God, all of them. However Satan will say that they are beyond the help of God, beyond the ability of God to supply. But then we might look at these words, let your requests be made known unto God. What are those sweet gospel invitations in the word of God for then, if they're not encouragements to coming sinners? We quoted one or two promises, but I thought just then the words dropped into my mind of the words of Christ himself. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let your requests be made known unto God. And that's the provision, my friends, in Christ. That's the provision for the children of God in the covenant. And that's the place and way of mercy, because it brings relief, it comforts, and it brings deliverance too. Let your requests be made known unto God. What will you present first? What will be your greatest burden? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. How many come, my friends, with the worst of all conditions, to the darkest of all matters? How many, my friends, in professors, bring before God that which, if the Lord doesn't deal with it, will consign you to the pit? This is amongst the requests to be made unto God. Those, that dear one in Luke's gospel, brought his request unto God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. How many have got that request? We get up in the mornings, we thank God for health and strength. We ask him to be with us through the day, make the crooked straight, the rough places plain. May his presence be felt. Bless us with every blessing in providence. Help us on our way and forget all about our sinful heart. My friends, it must begin there. It must begin there. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, the burdens of one's heart, the sins of one's nature, the far offness. You can sit in God's house, you know, and you're present in body. But where is the spirit? And where is the mind of a child of grace? It can be miles away. Let your requests be made known unto God. My friends, one of the wonderful things, and yet the most solemn things, is the Lord knows every burden, request, and care, and season of trouble in his children. But he also knows the sinful heart. He also knows the unbelieving spirit. He also knows the secret sins, as the psalmist wrote in the 19th Psalm, the secret sins that are in his view and under his knowledge. Let your requests be made known unto God. My friends, what a mercy that it is. These requests are, I might use a word, a comprehensive piece of advice, isn't it? Lay it all, sin and burden that sin is, your own salvation, your standing for eternity. Let your requests be made known unto God. dying sinners we all are, whatever age we are this morning, my friends, but these are the requests of a dying sinner. How shall it be in the swellings of Jordan, one wrote? How stands the case, my soul, with thee? Is heaven thy credentials clear? Is Jesus' blood thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Your requests, are they made up only of providential matters, health and strength, and the comforts of life, or does it begin in your own precious soul and your own perishing state and condition as a sinner before a holy and a just God? Let your requests be made known unto God. Look at Calvary, my friends, as an example. One thief wanted to come down from the cross. The other one wanted to go to heaven. That's the requests, my friends. That's the difference between grace and gifts. That's the difference between a professor and a possessor. Oh, how he labored to come down from the cross, did that thief. If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. There wasn't a scrap of prayer, faith, or anything good in his petition, but that other poor sinner who justified the judge in his condemnation and then cried out, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's a blessed request that comes from a living soul. It wasn't that he wanted to come down from the cross, though I suppose that's the natural desire of a sinner. But what he wanted was Christ, and what he wanted was glory with Christ. Let your requests be made known unto God. Have you a seal for heaven? Have you such a thing? A seal for heaven? Have you a token in this dying world that when your life is finished, your precious soul will be with Christ? Let your requests be made known unto God. How shall it be in that day? We are drawing closer to it, my friends. And a living soul will show that is a living soul by his requests. It's not all bread and butter. It's not all the clothing we have. It's not all the comforts in life that he'll bring before the Lord. They're all things to be brought before the Lord, my friends, but he'll start where it's most important, his own precious soul. That the Lord will shine upon the work of grace if it is indeed begun. What was your request when you came to chapel? When you drove to this place, my friends, and walked into the house of God, what was your request? The Lord knew. The Lord hears, blessed be God that he does, those secret cries. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. That thou wouldest enlarge my coast. Request unto God. Perhaps you came in like Job. And what was Job's request? Oh, that I knew where I might find him. That's real religion, my friends. Christ and your precious soul brought together, one with Jesus by eternal union, one. That's a blessed request. Perhaps you might come in, felt, because it's the beginning of another week, you've looked back on the week that's passed, and you've had to say, Lord, it's all sin. And you've walked into the sanctuary as a sinner, and you brought your sins to chapel. My friends, what will be the request? Remember me with the favour that thou bearest to thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Your requests be made known unto God. And those requests would be heard and hearkened to. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the promise. Plead the promise in your requests. Let your requests be made known unto God. You know, in those days of the ancient kings of Israel, God raised up Solomon, David's son. Promised David that he would raise up a son who shall build him a house. And he spoke in the vision of the night, and he said, ask what I shall give thee. Ask. What a blessed encouragement to poor wretched sinners. There was everything that Solomon could present before the Lord. But he was of humble mind in those days. He was of lowly spirit in those days. And he asked what he felt he needed. Oh, he didn't look at the riches of the kingdom, nor did he look at the population of the people, other than that they were the children of God. And how to bring him up, how to bring them up, how to rule over them, how to be wise in the ways of the kingdom of Israel, and so on. And he prayed for wisdom. Let your requests be made known unto God. My friends, and a sensible sinner will begin with his sin. He'll plead the blood that did for sin atone. How many times during the day do you have to plead the blood that did for sin atone? Your requests be made known unto God. Why should there be a pleading of that blood? Because it's all marred. What you and I put our hand to, preaching, singing, reading the word of God, giving the hymns out, doing anything in the house of God, my friends, has got sin in it. Let your requests be made known unto God. His pardoning love and his forgiving mercy, and it's only through shed blood will there ever be known. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's a blessed prayer meeting, isn't it? When you can unfold, as it were, all the cares and concerns of your precious soul, that living soul that's within us all, that shall live in heaven or in hell, and bring it to the Lord. It may be that you've looked at the blessings of others and longed for them. My friends, the poet said this. I remember in those days when I watched the people of God sit at the table, long to be with them. And it comes like this, numbered with them. But do you want their pathway? Do you want their pathway? Do you want their trials and troubles? In me you shall have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Do you want those? My friends, if you're numbered with the people of God, you'll have their tribulations, their trials, that you'll have the temptation that Satan comes against them with. Oh, how he challenges the real grace of God in a sinner's heart. Let your requests be made known unto God. Am I his? The poet said, or am I not? That's real requests. Requests that your eternal peace rests upon the very answers. Because there'll be no peace in one's own precious soul, my friends, when there's unanswered questions concerning your spiritual standing. Let your requests be made known unto God. Do you know, there's 101 different ways people come to the house of God. Duty brings them, formality brings them. That which you and I, perhaps all of us, some of us anyway, can look back on. And that's the way we were brought up. That'll bring you to the house of God. And then there are those who find it really to be something that they would never ever separate them from. They'll always be found in a place where there's worship. Let your requests be made known unto God. So often on the Lord's days, Lord's Day morning, I read that psalm. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. What was found in the house of the Lord? Oh, it's not the gathering of the people. It's not meeting with like precious souls only. It's not that communication which is between those who attend a house of prayer. Well, the psalmist went on to say this, for there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. This is how you come up to the house of God. My brethren and companions say, but how the Lord puts these two things together, peace and prosperity. Let your requests be made known unto God. I truly believe, my friends, I've had this text given me because I stand in need of the peace of God. In all the perplexities and anxieties and burdens of the pathway, my friends, I felt such a need of this peace. And have you ever known it in the house of God? Have you ever come into the house of God in turmoil, troubled to your very soul, up to your very neck in trouble perhaps, distressed by Satan, and sitting under the sound of the truth that precious gospel of Jesus Christ has prevailed upon your natural spirit and brought peace and quietness to the mind? Lest your requests be made known unto God. Is one of the requests to be made known unto God this, my friends, that you're not unprofitable sinners, unprofitable hearers? Oh, that, my friends, is another burden to a soul, that you're not unprofitable. What does the Lord Jesus speak about the unprofitable ones? Well, it should be dug up and burned, unprofitable, not bearing fruit, no sign or evidence of the work of grace. Let your requests be made known unto God. Grace to attend the gospel, grace to heed the gospel, grace not to turn away from the truth of the gospel when it, my friends, is dealing with your precious soul. Let your requests be made known unto God. And what need there is, therefore, of grace and faith in exercise, so to do. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And you know, I do believe too, in every living soul, my friends, there will be divine teaching of these things. And I truly believe this, you know, that they'll come to one escape and one escape only, one place of remedy, one spot in which all these matters, soul and circumstance, providence and grace, will be and could be dealt with, and mercy shall be found. Let your requests be made known unto God. When did you pray? How did you pray for mercy? Was it as under some sense of being convinced of the need of mercy? Go back to the publican again. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the request of a needy, hell-deserving, suffering sinner who walks in darkness. But then, you know, in precious faith, the exercise of precious faith, the centering of that faith upon indeed where it is to be found. If you read, in the Acts of the Apostles, in the very early chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, of the time when Peter and John went up to the temple to pray, that miracle of a lame man that was healed, a person who never had walked, a certain man lame from his mother's womb, so he never had walked. But this was what I was going to say. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Did you pray like that? Did you pray like that? My friends, when you pray and take the name of Jesus upon your lips, when you open your heart up as the Spirit of truth enables you, and you pour out your spirit before the Lord and tell him all, tell him everything, all the burdens you wouldn't tell anyone else about. My friends, is there a looking for? Is there a heeding to that blessed place, the throne of grace, where mercy shall be found? Is there that, I was going to say, and take this the right way, my friends, is there sometimes an expectation of the Lord's appearance? that he will speak peace and pardon to the son, that he will grant that request which you ask. I tell you what, my friends, if there's living faith, though you have to wait on him, you'll wait for him. Continue in prayer, watching unto the same. Where there is a living faith in exercise, or there will be much opposition to it, of course. There will be much, my friends, which would silence your prayers and supplications. But I believe where there's living faith, there will be no laying down that burden. No, there will be not laying down that request, that will be going again and again before the throne of grace for his appearance and blessing. If you're a sinner, my friends, and feel a perishing state of a sinner, and hell is presented as the just place in which a sinner should be found, my friends, I tell you this, if that's your burden this morning, you'll look again towards his holy temple. You'll cry at the foot of the cross. You'll lay these requests before him who shed his blood for sinners. You'll remind him how none are worthy of these blessings and favours, let alone you. The time's gone, but may the word be a word to someone this morning in season. It surely must be if you're a living soul. It suits me well, I hope it suits you. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen.
The notices today are that, God willing, there will be a prayer meeting on Wednesday evening, and our pastor will preach next Lord's Day. There will also be a Thanksgiving service on the 17th of September, when Mr. Wood is expected to preach. Our last hymn is 778. Though straight be the way, with dangers beset, and we on the way are no farther yet. Our good guide and Saviour has helped us thus far, and 'tis by his favour we are what we are. A favour so great we highly should prize, not murmur nor fret, nor small things despise. But what call we small things? Sin's whole counsel sum? 'Tis greater than all things, except those to come. Hymn 778.
Oh.
thy blessing, dear Lord, rest upon us and upon thy holy word. May thy pardoning love, forgiving mercy be over all that has been spoken amiss. Gather with us, Lord, later in the day. Oh, provide all. Be with us, thy presence, thy help, thy spirit, Lord, thy mercy. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, remain with us now and forever. Amen.